Hello, friends and neighbors. This is David Smith of Illinois Family Action with yet another bonus edition of our Spotlight podcast. Recently, I gave a short presentation at my church, and since we recorded the audio, I thought we could post it as a special edition for those who may be interested. In this short exhortation, I ask listeners to think biblically about the issue of legalizing so-called recreational marijuana. I hope this short message is a challenge and an encouragement to you as we confront this divisive issue of addiction and intoxication. While some claim it is an issue of personal liberty, it is hard to see how adding more buzzed people on our highways, at job sites, and in our schools will benefit society. So, without further delay, here is the special edition of Illinois Family Spotlight. As you know, our lawmakers in Springfield are considering legislation to legalize recreational marijuana for the state of Illinois. For approximately 10 years now, for 10 years, we fought the push for medical marijuana. And as we did, we warned people that this was a stepping stone to full legalization. Well, now we're here 4 years later, and our lawmakers are back in Springfield pushing for full legalization for adults 20 years old or older. Some proponents of this policy claim that the state of Illinois could use the tax revenue to solve its fiscal irresponsibility. Others claim that it will ease the burden on law enforcement and our judicial system. Others wrongly believe that marijuana is no worse than alcohol and that adults should have the freedom to use it as they will. There's a whole sermon on the side effects or the effects that alcohol has had in our culture. We'll leave that for another time. How about that? Now, I could dispel each and every one of these myths, but I don't have time to do that in this morning's exhortation. Now, if you want more information, please see me later or visit the Illinois Family Institute website. There's a whole page called The Myths and Consequences, or something like that, of marijuana in our culture. Now, those of you who live in and vote in Cook County will have an opportunity to weigh in on a non-binding referendum asking you if our state lawmakers should pass this legislation. In November, this question may be on the ballot for all voters nationwide. I want to urge you to vote no if you live in Cook County to this terrible public policy. The adverse consequences and costs to the culture are substantial. Colorado has had legal marijuana for 4 to 5 years now, and we're learning much from their experimentation. Since legalization, Colorado has seen a 72% increase in pot-related hospitalization. Yes, emergency rooms are being overwhelmed with overdoses, patients who are overdosing from marijuana products. These products have anywhere between 20% to 90% concentration of THC, which is the property that gets you high. Okay? Proponents of this legislation like to point to the Netherlands as an example of good, pot legalization. It's good for the culture. What they don't tell you is that marijuana products there are limited to 15% or less. And anything over that are considered hard drugs. Hard drugs. We, as Christians, should be very troubled, deeply troubled by these statistics. And I'm going to give you a few more. Did you know, for example, that since legalization, Colorado has seen a 66% increase in pot-related deaths? Part of that 66% is a 67% increase of marijuana-intoxicated drivers involved in fatal car crashes. Now, here's another slide that says the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration Fatality Analysis Reporting System says that the rate of marijuana involvement in fatal car crashes will soon rival alcohol as the number one preventable traffic problem. I think it's important to note that marijuana is not like alcohol in its intoxicating effects. Whereas having one sip of wine would not render someone intoxicated, one smoke from a marijuana joint can get someone high. Since I've never used the product, I verified this with some friends who have had extensive experience with marijuana, some of them being hippies from the 70s. They all agreed. Smoking a little marijuana joint with someone would get them high. In other words, just smoking a portion of a joint would get you high. One can drink a small amount of alcohol without getting drunk, but one cannot smoke a little marijuana without getting high. Now, with that as background, I want you to look at Scripture, which says, 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, but resist him. Okay, this is a warning. Be sober, don't be intoxicated. Keep a clear head, a sound mind, and remain alert to what is happening around you. Marijuana clearly clouds thinking and dulls the senses. It also has a negative effect on fine motor skills and reaction time. That's why you're seeing accidents on the highway. Research has shown that marijuana's negative effects on attention, memory, and learning can last for days or weeks after the acute effect of the drug wear off. Someone who smokes marijuana daily may be functioning at a reduced intellectual level most or all of the time. By the way, marijuana is also linked to psychiatric illness, cancer, and stroke. Brothers and sisters, one cannot use this drug and at the same time be sober and alert. Using marijuana leaves people vulnerable to the attacks of our adversary. In the Old Testament, Habakkuk, the prophet, warned, "Woe to you who make your neighbors drink, who mix in your venom even to make them drunk as to look at their nakedness." So in other words, it leads to more sin, right? So the reference, by the way, of mix in your venom is an ancient practice of adding drugs to wine so that its intoxicating effects are more potent. In biblical times, pagans incorporated the use of drugs to induce altered states of consciousness, during which they supposedly communed with their gods, opening themselves up to demonic influences. Today, we mix in marijuana or THC with punch, lollipops, cookies, brownies, and we even spray THC concentrates on gummy bears. I heard an interview recently saying that one particular type of gummy bear, which is sprayed with like a 90% concentration of THC, is so strong that the recommended dose for an adult is a quarter of a gummy bear. Now, who here is going to eat a quarter of a gummy bear? So anyone? Really? Seriously? Okay. So no wonder why people are being rushed to the emergency room, freaking out as they experience the dangerous side effects of the THC overdose. This is serious stuff here. Christians should be opposing policies that have these kind of spiritual, physical, and mental consequences. If we're truly striving to fulfill the second great commandment, all right, to love your neighbor as yourself, how can we turn a blind eye to what is being proposed in Springfield? Marijuana is not a benign drug, as most of its proponents would claim. And if we were truly striving to love our neighbors as we already love ourselves, we wouldn't just be concerned about the spiritual consequences, though that's very, very important. We'd also be concerned about the overall effects on our communities and culture. Think of the overall consequences of marijuana use once it's declared legal by politicians, and big marijuana puts up billboards marketing their product as a good and harmless way to unwind and escape from the daily grind and stress of life. One more thing. In Matthew chapter 6, the Lord teaches us how to pray. Part of this template is to pray that we not be led into temptation, but delivered from evil. Legal, recreational marijuana will lead our neighbors, maybe even some of our family members, into temptation, addiction, and intoxication. There's no way to avoid this truth. Pot stores are numerous, will become even more numerous, especially in urban and suburban areas of our state. Therefore, this temptation will be perpetually in front of our neighbors. It's not an exaggeration to suggest that many will become dependent on the drug, become apathetic, unproductive, unable to work, and dependent on the welfare state. The increase in homelessness in Colorado is a big problem for their convention and tourist business. And this is a direct result of their policy on marijuana. If we are praying against temptation for ourselves, yet ignore how our government is placing temptation in front of our neighbors, how can we claim to be loving our neighbors? It is vital that we understand that the schemes of the devil and how he is devouring people left and right with his lies. It's important that we understand that. Talk about these things with your children and speak out to those men and women who represent us in Springfield and tell them this is not good public policy. I want to go back to the Lord's Prayer for a second, and this is a bit of a sidebar, but it's very relevant to this exhortation. And as I was meditating on this portion of scripture, as I put this together, actually in February for a different event, I was thinking about the Lord's Prayer. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. It hit me. All of a sudden, I recognized Jesus didn't teach us to pray or teach his disciples to pray, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. It's plural. It's us. Okay? And I believe that is significant. It isn't about me. I couldn't help but see that this was consistent with some Old Testament passages. David, Ezra, and Nehemiah, who themselves were godly men, they nevertheless identified themselves with the entire nation in its sinfulness. They prayed, we. They didn't pray, they have done wrong. We have done wrong. And we find this corporate call to prayer and repentance also in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, right? A well-known verse. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Okay? My people, themselves, their wicked ways. Now, it could be argued that this call to national prayer and repentance is distinctive only for the nation of Israel. Okay, maybe. Likewise, it could be argued that the reference to us in the Lord's Prayer is distinctive only for the church. Okay, maybe. I don't have the definitive answer on that question. But I've been ruminating about it, and I think it's food for thought. Regardless, it is not insignificant that Jesus taught us to pray in this manner. So, my exhortation to you this morning is to urge you to think biblically about the issues of our day, specifically the current debate about legalizing marijuana as recreational. Moreover, I encourage you to pick up the phone this week and call your state senator and representative and ask them to please oppose this dangerous and foolish policy. Then I'd ask you again, as I said earlier with the Planned Parenthood, lift this up. This is spiritual warfare. This policy will numb people to God's word. Bottom line, Okay? So if you love your neighbors, take some action and then pray fervently. Thank you.